Stu Does America.
Welcome to Stu Does America. It's State of the Union Day. We have State of the Union live coverage right here on Blaze TV. I'll be there. A bunch of other people from the Blaze will be there as well. It's a great panel, great conversation. We've got a pre-show coming up. I think it starts at 7:30 Eastern. I should know this. 7:30 Eastern, I think. That's going to start the pre-show. We're going to talk about what's going to come up for a while. And then we're going to do the live coverage of the State of the Union. And I think there's a post show after as well. So we'll get you all the coverage that you possibly could want right here on Blaze TV. If you'd like to sign up to Blaze TV, I would recommend you use the link StuDoesAmerica.com. That will get you access not only to this particular show, but the entire network and all the stuff, all the specials, everything that we have. It's StuDoesAmerica.com, and the code is something. I don't know what it is, but there's a code, and you should use that code, whatever that use codes do. I think that'll work. Anyway, so we have that. Before that, on YouTube, we'll be doing the Predictable pre-show. Now, this is the new show I'm doing called PredictableShow.com. We are going to be talking about prediction markets and how these play into politics, covering the election very closely. This is kind of just us having some fun today. Honestly, before we get all that stuff started in a few weeks, it is going to be a predictable pre-show of the State of the Union, where we'll be discussing mention markets. We'll get into those a little bit later and kind of tell you about what that means. But basically trying to understand what Trump's going to say before he says it. And that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be doing that at 5:30 p.m. Eastern today on youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. And maybe as well on Predictable Show. Regardless of whether it's up there on Predictable Show, you should go to Predictable Show. And sign up. You'll get the Senate preview is up now. That's ready for you as we get closer and closer to launch time for that project. Okay, one of the people who's going to be joining me on that stream is Dan Andros. He's here to compare SAT scores with Gavin Newsom on this particular program. That's going to be fun. The Democrats have concocted a truly inspiring plan for pushing back against Trump's immigration policy. We will look at their fourth grade sense of humor here in just a bit. But we're going to start by doing the 2026 State of the Union preview. So this is Not the pre-show for the State of the Union. We're like the Super Bowl now. We're just kind of like we're on all day, just talking about what's coming up. A State of the Union, by the way, again, we mentioned live Blaze TV. Here it is, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Make sure to join us. It's also on YouTube as well if you want to join us there. Going to be a lot of fun. Now, this State of the Union does happen at an interesting point in the Trump presidency. If you remember, his last big speech like this, which was not technically a State of the Union. When you get elected, your first speech is like a joint speech to Congress. It's not technically a State of the Union because you just took over, right? But the State of the Union happens once a year, except for the first year. They call it a State of the Union. This will be technically his fourth State of the Union address, with the other two being speeches to the joint session of Congress. Now, no, that really makes all that much difference, to be honest with you. But I will say it is a difficult point in this presidency because when the last speech last year was kind of the golden age speech, right? He was saying how great everything's going to be. Hey, we got out of that Biden disaster, and now we're going to turn things around. And the approach here is going to be very interesting. Trump's State of the Union address comes at an uncertain, even perilous moment in his presidency, according to John Carl over at ABC News, the latest ABC News Washington Post Ipsos poll. Released on Sunday, found that 60% of Americans disapprove of Trump's overall job performance, while just 39% approve. On the economy, 57% disapprove compared to 41% who approve. On immigration, 58% disapprove compared to 40% who approve. A remarkable slide on issues where Trump was considered strongest. Now, that's true. I mean, like, the reason he got elected in 2024 is because of people remembering what the economy was like in 2019. He was overwhelmingly approved on the economy back in 2019 before COVID hit and kind of threw everything into a very crazy spiral. But that was the approach. That was the belief about Donald Trump is, you know, you might not like some of his domestic policies. You might not like some of the things he says. He might be too mean to Mika Brzezinski, but the economy's rocking and we love that. That is not how the American people feel right now. Now, the big difference, I'll be honest with you, we talked about it yesterday, the big difference between Trump version one and Trump version two on the economy, it's not tax policy for income tax. It's not deregulation. He's doing plenty of that. He's doing almost all the things that he did last time, sometimes even more aggressively. The one thing that's really changed is tariffs. I mean, and that has been the central focus of his economic plan since he got back into office. He's been pushing them hard. He's been talking about them constantly, and they are just not popular. So the American people don't like them. Now they are feeling, I think something a little bit different than what they felt in 2019. 2019, I think there was a lot of optimism. I think things were going really well. In 2026, I think the feeling is more hesitant. What's going on? What is all the AI, what do all those changes mean for us? There's a lot of kind of like uncertainty, right? And that is a difficult moment to go through if you happen to be a president. Now, the way they are trying to deal with this is interesting, and I will be honest with you, extraordinarily risky. This is a very risky approach. It is a natural approach. When people are saying, hey, what you're doing isn't working, which is what a lot of American people are saying, and not just on the far left, but a lot of people in the middle. I mean, Trump's approval rating among independents is in the 20s right now. What are they saying? Why are they saying this? They are saying, hey, we feel uncertain. We don't like what's going on right now. There's two ways to go with that. A very natural response is to say, well, you're wrong. We've got a lot of great news. Things are going really, really well. The other idea is to go to the point and say, hey, look, you're right. Things aren't going so well. We took it over in a really bad place. We're trying to turn things around, but we're not quite there yet. This is what the president tweeted earlier today from the White House account, maybe giving you a sign as to which approach they're choosing.
Let's go, Jerry. Go!
They're my favorite account.
Silver medal.
Yeah, as good as gold.
He has a saying, stuff's getting better. Stuff's getting better every day.
It's good. It's good. It's good.
This moment came to me in a dream.
I got a little business to take care of.
You can do it!
Oh, yes, we can.
Nailed it.
Oh!
You're just smart people.
Not yet, baby! They didn't know where that came from, yeah!
So more like celebratory, you're now in the golden age. It's happened. This is it. Now, there is some stuff about, hey, we're getting there. We can do it. There's some stuff that, hey, maybe more is coming around the corner. But a very celebratory, hey, this has worked really well so far. And look, I think, especially as a conservative, there's a lot to like, right? There's been a lot of policies, a lot of deregulation, a lot of things that have been really, really positive. When it comes to what President Trump's done here in the office. So, I mean, I there's a lot to celebrate, but I don't know if the American people are there. By the way, can I just point out one very strange thing about that particular promo? All those clips are very famous clips, right? You know, it's gold, Jerry, it's gold, right? Like, these are very famous, famous clips. The one, though, from a very quotable movie that I didn't recognize initially was the one with Matthew McConaughey as he's saying something in Dazed and Confused. And I was like, you know, they're dealing with enough Epstein files crap. I don't think you necessarily want to put the guy who's famous as an adult for dating high school girls in your promo. It's a very strange choice by the White House media team there. Now, I doubt Donald Trump has even seen that movie. I'm sure this has nothing to do with him. But I am very confused as to why you would choose that. And I went back to try to find what the quote was, because there's a very famous back and forth where Matthew McConaughey's character says something to the effect of, like, oh, I love those high school girls because I keep getting older and they stay the same age. Very creepy, Epstein-y type of quote, right? And then this one, though, is not that quote. It's a part where Matthew McConaughey sees a redhead high school girl, and someone says to him, hey, red's a good color for you. And he says, my favorite color. So he's talking about hitting on a high school girl. It's the second clip they used. And I don't think it's a famous clip at all, is it? I don't know. It was never my favorite movie, but I just don't. It's a very strange choice. Every once in a while, you get a very strange choice out of the media team over at the White House. And I don't always understand it. But anyway, that's a side point. I do think a very central point to this is how Donald Trump portrays what's going on in the country right now. You know, Bill Clinton, famously, I feel your pain, right? Like, that was the way of him saying, look, I know things aren't perfect. We're going to try to improve them. There is a very legitimate case for Donald Trump to make to say, look, what we took over was a catastrophe in the making. It was very, very bad. We had the highest inflation we had to deal with in many, many years. We had all these massive core problems caused by the Biden administration. And now we have to try to turn that around. It's not going to take a few months. Now, he made big promises in the election, which everyone does. But I don't know that he should be leaning on the fact that, hey, we've arrived, right? I think that will not connect with the American people. And so he's got to be careful on the messaging. We'll see what he does with it. Trump's State of the Union will seek to calm voters' economic concerns ahead of the midterm elections. Republicans hope he can convince increasingly wary Americans that his policies have improved their lives while ensuring that the U.S. economy is stronger than many believe and that they should vote for more of the same in November. Main theme will be the country is booming with a rise in domestic manufacturing and new jobs. By the way, we've lost manufacturing jobs. I mean, there's no question about that. You can say there's a boom coming. You can say we've talked to a lot of these countries and they're promising to spend a lot of money here. You can say that. It's a strange thing to say as you're about to argue to the courts that the investment balance with outside countries investing in America is too high, and that's why we have an emergency, and that's why we need new tariffs. But again, this is government. They make these arguments that disagree with each other all the time. Trump, certainly the administration, not the only ones doing that. It goes on. The main theme will be that a country is booming with a rise in domestic manufacturing and new jobs, despite many Americans not feeling that way. It's going to be a long speech because we have so much to talk about, said Trump, who promised a heavy dose of talk about the economy. That one, by the way, not my favorite thing that Donald Trump said, because I've got to do this show. And I got to do a pre-show, and I got to do another pre-show, and then I got to watch the speech, and then I got to do a post-show. So long speech is not what I'm looking for, frankly. I mean, if you could do it in like, can you do it, just release a Truth Social? I say this every year. I mean it sincerely. Say the union used to be a letter. I'm fine with that. In fact, we don't even have to make it a letter. Just make it a truth. I'd be fine with that. I'd read the whole thing. I hope we don't have a super long speech, but that's just me being selfish. Okay, what are the things he's going to talk about? Tariffs, we know. Trump's global tariff takes effect at 10%. I guess he announced it at 10%. I think, honestly, what I think is someone told him that the limit was 10% incorrectly, because the limit is actually 15% for Section 122 tariffs. Again, I won't get into, I mean, we went super deep nerd land yesterday on this. I actually feel like I should apologize for how deep of the nerdery we got into yesterday. But if you want to get all the nerdery on each section of that, you can go back to yesterday's show. Point is, though, the actual max is 15% there. He promised a raise to that, but I guess they're not quite ready for that. Hours before the sweeping tariff took effect at 12:01 a.m., U.S. Customs and Border Protection sent a memo informing importers that the rate would be 10% at first. It would apply to every country for a period of 150 days, unless specifically exempt. The exemption's another thing that's going to go to court, because the way that law is written kind of says it needs to be a blanket. But we do have other laws that kind of disagree with that. So it's going to be another fight. White House official confirmed to NBC News the message was correct. 10% to start. It will rise, we believe, to 15% a little bit later on. FedEx is doing what very much was expected by many companies. They are suing for a refund of the Trump tariffs after the Supreme Court ruling. This is very much expected. If you think about the way this works, again, foreign countries do not pay tariffs. Importers, U.S. importers do. So you're a U.S. company, you're FedEx. You take a bunch of money and you send it to the government. Then you find out that tax was illegal, which is what the Supreme Court said. So what happens? The Supreme Court did not say specifically what should happen to that money. That's going to be litigated in the courts. And this is the beginning of that litigation. FedEx says, well, we should get our money back. It wasn't a legal tax. We paid it. And by the way, what FedEx is also going to say is, hey, it wasn't just us. We applied that to customers. So when you send it back to us, we are going to have to send it back to them. So if you are a big, if you're a small business that's, you know, been importing things over this time, there is definitely a chance you're getting this money back. I don't understand legally how you would not. Now, I get surprised by these things from some time as they wind through Washington and all the mechanisms that we have to deal with. But like, if the tax is illegal, FedEx should get a refund for that, and then FedEx should refund you. So you should be expecting that money at some point, though it may be years before it actually hits. And you know, Section 122, the new tariff, is going to be a new fight, and that may also get overturned eventually. So this is a very it's very difficult to see the future here. But typically, like a company like FedEx has records of that, and they should be able to just refund your account once they get the money back. That should not be difficult. Now, smaller businesses might get more difficult, but a big business like a FedEx has plenty of mechanisms to refund you. So FedEx should hold the government responsible, and then you should hold FedEx responsible if you paid those tariffs. That money should come back to you, at least eventually. U.S. Intel helped Mexico. This is another big topic he's going to be talking about, we think. Because we know that raid happened. The United States provided intelligence support to the Mexican government in order to assist with an operation in Mexico where El Mencho was killed. President Trump has been very clear the United States will ensure narco-terrorists sending deadly drugs into our homeland are forced to face the wrath of justice they have long deserved. Now, it's hard to see this as a negative thing for Trump, right? Taking on the cartels and killing a major leader in the, you know, working with the Mexico, too. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, you're too mean to Mexico. Well, we're working with them on this, which is, I think, important. Of course, CNN did find a negative. Cartel crackdown carries political risks for Donald Trump. Trump's zest for violent enforcement could sow turmoil far worse than the weekend's gangland backlash that left Americans stranded in tourist hotspots and buses and businesses burning. But a more permanent cartel crackdown would create new dilemmas and political risks. Widespread prolonged violence could turn voters against the president and turn bizarre and hurt the economy or disrupt Mexico's co-hosting of FIFA. Because we wouldn't want soccer tournaments to be canceled. History shows that high-profile killings or captures drug lords may grab headlines and toughen political bragging rights on each side of the Mexico border, but they don't stop drugs flowing to Americas, to Americans or temper cartels, which seed corruption throughout Mexican businesses, law enforcement, and politics. So I guess we just let them roll. Let them roam throughout Mexico with their drugs. Let the drugs come in, because it could be bad for Donald Trump's politics if violence breaks out in Mexico after they have a battle with the cartels. That's the CNN coverage. I would, by the way, have I recommended Blaze TV's coverage? Because I think we might do a little bit better than that tonight. Iran is in the news, of course, as well. Trump growing frustrated with limits of Iran military options, sources say. Unlike previous targeted operations, including the recent one removing Nicolas Maduro from power in Venezuela, Mr. Trump has been told that any strike on Tehran's assets would almost certainly not be a singular decisive blow. Instead, limited strikes could open the door to a wider confrontation, one that risks drawing the Middle East and the United States into a protracted conflict. That is true. That could happen. It's very much the risk of that situation. Trump had said he thought that it would be an easy victory. I don't think anyone really believes it's going to be an easy victory. Even his own generals, I don't think, believe that. I mean, Iran's a different story. And I don't know that we even have victory in Venezuela, right? Like, we were able to take out Maduro, but, you know, his vice president is still in power there. Though they do seem to be playing ball with us on a day-to-day basis. Well, hopefully that lasts for a long time, or they are able to switch out their leadership there. Maybe the hockey players will be there. This is going to be interesting. By the way, the U.S. women's hockey declined Trump's event to the State of the Union. We are sincerely grateful for the invitation extended to our gold medal winning hockey team and deeply appreciate the recognition of their extraordinary achievement. Due to the timing and previously scheduled academic and professional commitments following the games, the athletes are unable to participate. You never know with this stuff. It could be that a bunch of the women's hockey players don't like Trump. Could be. Could be real that they just have a bunch of other stuff. They also could come out and say, we don't like Donald Trump. We think he's mean and orange. They didn't do that either. Now, this is sort of the middle ground of saying, look, we respectfully decline. We have other stuff going on. We're sorry. You know, I'm okay with that. They don't have to go. Although they could instead, if I don't know what their events are, they could go just visit Flava Flav. That's always an option. Flava Flav has invited U.S. women's hockey team to Vegas to celebrate. Now, I mentioned the Matthew McConaughey thing seeming a little creepy earlier. Excuse me. You tell me if you think the Flava Flav recommendation to the U.S. women's hockey team strikes you that way at all. If the U.S. women's hockey team wants a real celebration and invite, I'll host them in Las Vegas, do some nice dinners and shows and good times. I'm sure I can get a hotel and airline to help me out here and celebrate these women for real, for real. That's, of course, the words of Flava Flav. I will say, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the approach of Clubber Lang in Rocky III when he went up to Adrian and said, you know, if your man ain't got no heart, come to my apartment tonight. I'll show you a real man. That was not appreciated by Rocky, and I don't know what the women's hockey team really appreciated that for Flava Flav, but maybe they did. Maybe they did. Very nice invitation. Democrats, by the way, going to be celebrating in their own way. They're going to be protesting Donald Trump because it's all they ever do. Democrats are preparing a show of defiance during President Trump's State of the Union, with some skipping the speech entirely, others attending counter events, and many bringing guests to highlight real-world impact of the administration's policies. At least that's what they say.
Hakeem Jeffries has strictly advised his caucus to either attend the address in silent defiance or take part in alternative programming. Several, they don't want him yelling and making fools of themselves. Several Democrats are opting to skip. We're talking about, they're going to be doing the People's State of the Union, which I've heard is hosted, is this true, by Joy Reid, a person who is so insane they kicked her off of MSNBC? Like, this is what we want to project as us. You know, thank God we are blessed with such just awful enemies, because they are just idiotic. Several Democrats doing that skipping, so that's going on. Other Democrats will be attending a different counter event called the State of the Swamp at the National Press Club. Some lawmakers are considering attending the event for a brief period and then attending the State of the Union after. Other Democrats planning to skip. We've got Dina Titus, Sidney Kamalger Dove, who, by the way, I just want to make sure everyone is very clear on Sidney. I definitely have heard of her before. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Don Beyer, Sean Casten, Ami Bera, and Senator Ruben Gallego. By the way, I just want to make sure you are very aware, as the person who's going to be hosting State of the Union coverage for The Blaze, I want you to be clear that I know all of those names and I'm very familiar with who or what they are. Members of the Democratic Women's Caucus plan on wearing white to Trump's address. I think, aren't you supposed to have a certain amount of, certain types of activities to wear white? I don't know if that, maybe they qualify. House Democrats bringing Jeffrey Epstein survivors. Why not use the survivors of alleged sexual assault in this way? At least a half dozen Democrats invited survivors of Epstein. Most of these survivors that are out there publicly are not anyone who were minors at the time of this, at least for the most part. Most of them were in their early 20s. That seems to be the second wave of the Jeffrey Epstein experience. So there you go. There's other guests as well, but I don't need to tell you any more about that. I'll tell you about it all tonight. State of the Union coverage, Blaze TV. Don't miss it. 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Before that, on YouTube.com/StudasAmerica, 5:30 p.m., the predictable pre-show looking at Metro Markets. We'll talk about that with Dan Andros. He's joining us next. Cold weather, packed schedules, and big goals don't exactly leave a lot of room for chopping vegetables at 7:30 at night. And that's why Factor makes so much sense right now. I will tell you, I'm driving in today. I pulled into the parking lot here, open up my emails. I've got an alert. Just delivered Factor meals at my house. That's a good day when that happens, because you know you've got fully prepared meals designed by dietitians and crafted by chefs so that you can eat well throughout, you know, the entire season. Whether you're planning, you know, you need to do the planning, and you need to do the shopping, and you need to do the cooking. It's easy, it's rewarding, it's good food too. You know, a lot of times I'm like, ah, whatever, kids, eat something up. No one's ever said I was a good parent. But here I can be, because you're getting lean proteins, you're getting colorful vegetables, you're getting whole food ingredients, healthy fats without refined sugars, artificial sweeteners, or refined seed oils. They rotate up to 100 meals each week, so you're not just stuck eating the same thing over and over again. You got high protein options, you got the calorie smart protein option, you got the Mediterranean diet, GLP-1 support, ready to eat salads, even their new Muscle Pro collection. Obviously, that's the one I get. You know, all the muscles, you know what I mean? Always fresh, never frozen, and ready to eat in about 2 minutes. No prep, no stress. Go to factormeals.com/America50off. Use the code America50off. Get 50% off. A free breakfast for a year as well. Eat like a pro this month with Factor. New subscribers only, varies by plan. One free breakfast item per box for 1 year when the subscription is active. Check it out now. Factormeals.com/America50off. I'm joined now by Dan Andros, managing editor, CBN News, host of CBN's Quick Start podcast, which you can subscribe to now wherever you get your podcasts. Dan, thanks for coming back on the show.
All right. Happy State of the Union.
Yes. Day. It's a big day. It's a big day. Now, I will say it's a big week here on Studios America. We've got a big announcement coming up later in the week. This week, we've been going through our most frequent guests. Yesterday, Jason Buttrell with 93 appearances. And in second place, yes, Dan Andros, 106 appearances. Congratulations on wasting that much of your life on this stupid show.
I'm Canada. I'm second place.
Yeah, yes, yes. You've been defeated by someone who scored a goal in overtime.
Yeah.
But I will say, very upset. Our previous guest on this in this particular program this week, Jason Buttrell, not happy that he was finishing behind
you. That was probably the worst part of his week.
Yeah, well, just continue to work hard, Jason. Listen, I know we set the bar very high here on the guest side of things here. So, you know, just keep working someday. Maybe someday you'll get there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someday you'll get there, Jason. Just keep working. Yeah. Okay. By the way, not only will you have you been on the show 107 times, you mm-hmm. will also be dragging you back on later on today for the pre-show of the State of the Union. Now, the pre-show is a special show. We're doing this today kind of for the first time. We're just, as I said about Predictable, the show that I'm doing on prediction markets, we're kind of just getting everything built behind the scenes yet. We're not really ready to have a full launch, but we are going to do a pre-stream of the State of the Union on mention markets. Mention markets, if you don't know, are a specific type of prediction market where you actually are predicting the exact words that are going to be said during the speech, trying to get the vibe of Donald Trump. If you think you know Donald Trump, you know his speech patterns, you know the things he says, these are really fun to get involved in, and it's a great way to kind of watch along for a speech. We're going to be doing a special pre-show. It's going to be on YouTube for sure, maybe over at predictableshow.com as well, or just go to youtube.com/StudasAmerica. It's kind of like a Studas America presents a predictable State of the Union. And we'll be going on there, Dan, doing a little draft what words that Trump might say.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. We're going to be joined by one of the top mention market traders in the world. PMT is going to be on with us as well. Going to be a great show.
Yeah. I mean, and it's always as far as mention markets goes, a Trump event, especially one that goes on for well over an hour, is like the Super Bowl of these things.
Yes.
Because he goes off script. So like you don't really know, like he could say anything because you know he's going to talk about certain things. And so, you know, there's a higher chance for certain things than others. But who knows? I mean, he goes off script in these things. And it must just be a terrible life to be a speechwriter for President Trump. Because you're trying to convey a message and then it's just like, he's like, nope, I'm saying my own thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating dynamic. One of the things that's really interesting, and I know Dan, you and I have been doing these on, you know, kind of offline together, just watching them go. There's this rush of energy as a certain topic comes up. And you know you have a word in that general topic. And so you're just really rooting. Like he's talking about foreign nations on trade. You're like, you got China. Come on, say China.
How do you not say China here?
Come on, you got to do it. It's really fascinating. And what's fascinating mostly about Trump, I'm almost convinced, Dan, with Donald Trump, and I don't know if this applies to the State of the Union, but generally speaking, like a press conference or something, I'm almost convinced of you'll make money if you just put yes on everything, because he is so wide ranging. You never know what direction he's gonna go. Like if he might just throw in a word that he's never said before, it might be on a topic he's never discussed before. You have no idea what's coming with Donald Trump. It's honestly what makes it so much fun.
Yeah, it's because it's like on vibes. So like if you have to sense like what is he wanting to hammer home? So like if you think at some point he's going to want to hammer, you know, the election or something, like that it was stolen from him. The big is a hoax, you know, like or whatever. Like these sorts of words he'll start throwing around. And so it's really just like a impulse of like, what does he want to hammer home? And what are his like go-to tick words that he says in those moments? So it's entertaining.
It's going to be interesting. So like you think of one of the words that I've seen on some of these markets is the word hottest. And like, you know, that's not a word a president would normally say in a State of the Union. And maybe not
the hottest country.
Yeah, we're the hottest country. Maybe not a word that you would script into a State of the Union speech. However, a lot of times what you'll see is Donald Trump say, like, you know, we're up 47% here, we're up 26.7% here. I mean, we're the hottest nation in the world. Like, he'll just do it off the cuff.
That's because that's his slogan.
Yeah.
Like, that is his slogan for America is back. He's saying, like, he views it as, like, it's like a item he created and it's like flying off the shelves, right? He's like, it's the hottest country out there. Everyone's getting it. Everyone's talking about it. You know, that's the way he views it. He thinks that's like a winning line. So whenever he wants to promote America, which the State of the Union is for that, he throws out, there's a good chance he might say we're the hottest.
Yeah.
The hottest country out there.
It's amazing. Now, the guy we have on before you're coming on to, by the way, the show starts at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's definitely on youtube.com/StudasAmerica. It might be over on predictableshow.com. I'm not sure if we've started all that yet, but whatever. It'll be on one of those two, or maybe both.
One of the guys that we're having on before you is one of the top mentioned market traders in the world, and this guy has made well into six figures just on almost exclusively mentioned markets, like we're talking about. And I would just encourage people at the very least, go there and just check it out, because it's just really fun to watch along. But also, if you're getting involved, start small, because it's interesting. There are patterns to pick up. You can research previous speeches. You can do all these things. These guys are actually out there doing this. And you could find a way to actually profit off of these speeches. But, be careful, especially when you're starting, because sometimes it feels like the most obvious thing in the world that he's going to say Biden, and then he just doesn't for some reason. You just never know. So, be careful and try to understand this stuff as we go. That's what we're hopefully going to do over at PredictableShow.com.
Yeah. I mean, mentioned markets are about as volatile as it gets. So, when you're looking at, an investment scenario, and you're thinking of the 3% gain solid lock over the years, mentioned markets are not those.
No, definitely not. But they are a lot of fun, I will say that.
Yeah.
Hey, yes. Dan, I also wanted to talk to you about, again, we were talking about Trump kind of going off script. We also had Gavin Newsom going off script quite a bit.
Always a good thing.
Always a good thing.
For him.
I don't,
and for everyone else.
It's fascinating to see him essentially leading the Democrat field right now. There are some polls that show Kamala Harris up there. That's, I think, more of a name recognition thing. It does seem like Gavin Newsom's ahead of their field right now, which is a strange thing, because I just don't get it. I don't understand how you could look at Gavin Newsom, the way he acts, the way he moves, how shticky everything is, how obviously, sent through multiple different agencies to hone what he's saying and how he's saying it. It's just it's way too slick. I don't understand any of it. Yet he still seems to be leading. He did this speech. I don't think, do we have the audio of this by any chance, Adam? We do? Okay, yeah, watch this. This is him speaking to a group of minorities, of African Americans in this particular room, and this is how he tries to relate to them.
I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you. I'm like you. I'm no better than you. I'm a 960 SAT guy. And I'm not trying to offend anyone, trying to act all there if you got 940. But literally a 960 SAT guy. I cannot, you've never seen me read a speech because I cannot read a speech. Maybe the wrong business to be in.
So essentially, hey, the way I'm going to relate to you African Americans is I got a bad SAT score and I can't read. How does this work?
This fits in with how Democrats, it's kind of like one of those projection things, right? Republicans are racist. They're racist on everything. It's like, well, you also are apparently the ones who think black people can't read, or for voter ID, go get an driver's license somewhere because they don't have access to the internet. This is how they view minorities, and it's so absurdly racist. And, it's a subtle thing that people aren't picking up on this clip, but you notice how he throws out a number, 960, right? And so he's trying to say, I'm dumb, just like you, I guess. But then he says his correction, his self-censor is, listen, in his mind, he's thinking, wait a minute, they probably got a worse score than me, so they think I'm bragging.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's like, now, if you're out there with a 940, I'm not trying to bet. He puts out a lower SAT number and then assumes they're even dumber. And also, I got a low SAT score. I didn't care about the SAT. I did not care at all. I went in there and I think I just put C for all of them. I didn't care at that time in my life at all. So I don't know that the SAT is some big indicator of intelligence.
First of all, I did better than you on it, so it is an indicator of
I know. Well, you studied for it. This is the one time in your high school life you studied for something and you didn't even tell me about it. This is not what friends do, Stu.
I will say, I can vouch
for Stu went
for
in
Dan.
Guns a-blazing. He had went on all these courses and stuff. Literally, we just sat around playing, PlayStation all day. Yeah. And Stu secretly studied for this thing, but
that's what I do. That's what I do. I'm a secret nerd. It's funny. I can vouch for Dan. He put absolutely no effort into the SATs. That is true. He would have had a much better grade. But the story, I've told this before, I think, I did read a book on the SATs. And the one thing I remember from it today is that it said that they had... there was a controversy. That, of course, this is before, you know, we were kids when this happened. But I guess there was a controversy, and you know, organizations, DEI types, were angry at the SATs because it wasn't culturally sensitive. There wasn't enough stuff. Like, they basically said what Gavin Newsom said. It's too difficult for black kids to be able to do a good job on this because they don't understand the same things that white kids do. So they decided to try to kind of figure out a way to make it nicer for minorities. The way that they did it is they would never say something negative about a minority in the SAT. So when you had a multiple choice answer, if it was Martin Luther King, for example, if it was something negative, the answer couldn't be Martin Luther King. You could eliminate it immediately because they couldn't say anything negative about a minority in the SATs, which is fascinating because you could really check off, you know, 25% of the options. Well, it
increases
on a lot of
your
questions.
Chances. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So that's the type of studying I did.
Yeah, no, that's good studying. But I just want to add too, by the way, that I still beat Gavin Newsom with my score.
Yes,
so
you did. You did.
I just want to say that
you did. I want to say, and that might be because he struggles with dyslexia, Dan. Now, we've never heard this before. As far as I know, I've never heard that about Gavin Newsom before. He has a new book out. It's called Young Man in a Hurry. This is his like pre-election type of book where he's going to, I guess, show off, how smart he is and all of this to try to win your vote. What's fascinating.
That's a horrible name for a book. I just want to say it right now.
It is a bad name for a book. You're right. It is a bad name for a book.
Being in a hurry is not like a good thing. Like, that's just dumb. No. Like, it means you haven't planned anything. You're just rushing around. You're just being an idiot.
That's true. That's actually, it seems how he's running the state. So maybe it is an apt
I didn't say it wasn't accurate. I'm just saying it's a dumb name for a book.
But there was a reporter that tried to get, hey, do you have any confirmation? Do you have any, like, evidence that has he been diagnosed with dyslexia? Like what? And the press office just wrote F off back to the reporter. Like, I definitely think that one thing that's interesting about Newsom, and we gotta take a break here, but I would love to get your perspective on this, Dan. One thing about Newsom is I think he believes he's unlocked the key to winning elections, which is taking what he sees Trump doing and trying to do it himself. Like, I know he's tried the parody of Trump, and that's been a thing that he's done, but I think it's deeper than that. I think he's actually trying to imitate Trump in his own mind. He's not doing it well, but he's taking those, like, he's swearing a lot. I mean, not that Trump swears a lot, but, like, it's that in-your-face type of thing. He's, you know, he's saying things. He's not apologizing. I mean, I really think that that is, like, he's trying to implement a lot of the things he believes Trump has taught us about the way the American people will react at the voting booth and implement them. And he's just, to me, he's failing miserably, but what do I know?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and I think because it's not the same base. Like, so Trump's appeal is to people who are frustrated and feel like politicians don't talk to them. And it's a lot of people on the right because it's you know, or like kind of right inclined or right leaning. Sure. I don't think the left responds to, like, people who would be inclined to go towards Gavin Newsom are not in that same boat.
Yeah.
They would, you know, they're going down the woke road and it's all that. They're sensitive to that kind of nonsense.
And you see Newsom struggle when he tries to talk about, like, you know, boys playing girls sports and things like that, where, like, he knows what he's supposed to say that will actually be popular, but he also knows he's got that left flank still. So he has to guard that. It's going to be a fascinating one to watch. All right, Dan Andros joins me today on YouTube, 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's Studios America does a predictable State of the Union pre-show. We're going to be talking about mention markets and so much more. Dan, managing editor of CBN News. Be sure to check him out on CBN's Quick Start podcast as well. Subscribe today. Dan, thanks so much for coming on the program.
All right. Thanks, Stu.
Well, Democrats are here because they're serious. They're serious representatives. They're doing the work of the American people. That's why they've introduced the Fight Unlawful Conduct and Keep Individuals and Communities Empowered Act. Now, you might say that sounds pretty forced. Right, they're trying to do an acronym. They wanted to say F
ice. Like, bad words. You notice Democrats lately are just like, we're going to swear more. That'll work. The American people will like us if we just swear more. Gavin Newsom has really taken the mantle on this one. Pathetic. But, of course, what exactly would you expect? AOC, speaking of pathetic, slams her Republican senator opponent over mockery of her bartending work. Now, this is John Kennedy, who was mocking the fact that she worked at a bartender earlier in life. And when you say earlier in life, it was like right up to the time she was representative. Not earlier in life. Like, yes, she's been a representative for a while. So, yes, it was earlier in her life. But she was doing this really like all the way up to all electoral campaign started. Right. It was that much. She says it makes me 1,000 times more qualified to govern on behalf of working people. Now, I think you might expect me to just completely dismiss that. I won't. I think, first of all, having an actual job, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, she was a bartender. You know, the problem, you know, there's a lot of really smart bartenders. The problem was she wasn't one of them. You know, she's an idiot. That's the problem we have with AOC. Not that she was a bartender, though it does kind of say like, hey, how did she even get this job? Like, it just seems like, how did you go from a bartender to Congress? But there's nothing wrong with that path. And I will say, I don't know if it's 1,000 times more, but what I will say is, you know, if your job is getting people drunk, kind of fits right into the DC culture. It's almost all of your job when you're in Washington. So I wouldn't completely dismiss AOC on that particular point. And finally, RFK Jr.'s endorsement of Trump's plan to boost U.S. herbicide production threatens MAGA-MAHA alliance. I don't know. Sometimes there's just headlines written. I think if we read them 10 years ago, we'd be like, what the hell are they talking about? Okay, so we obviously know RFK is against basically every chemical except the ones that maybe, he might utilize on his own. That is interesting, to say the least. Basically, Trump is like, hey, we need to have these herbicides produced here. And so he's increasing the production of them. RFK Jr. coming out and kind of saying, yeah, it's great. This is a great sentence. Health Secretary explained in a post to X that he was backing a directive from President Trump to boost manufacturing of agricultural chemicals. He says put Americans at risk, which is a weird thing to back. Because he says adversarial nations are in play there. And then his social media influencer and supporter of RFK wrote, we can secure supply chains without giving the most evil corporation in the world immunity. So they think it's evil, but they're fine producing it. By the way, as a man who's had a drink of Roundup on the air here at Blaze TV, now over 10 years ago, I just wanted you to know I'm still alive. All right, big State of the Union coverage coming up tonight. To start, 5:30 p.m. Eastern on youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. I'll be doing a live stream talking about prediction markets and mention markets. What is Trump going to say during the speech? Can you make money off of that? How do you do that? It's called Stu Does America Presents a Predictable State of the Union pre-show. Then a couple hours later, 7:30 p.m., the main network coverage starts up right here on Blaze TV. Don't miss it. Your favorite Blaze TV hosts, including me, got to be at least in the top 25 or so. We'll lead live commentary throughout the night, tackling the issues sweeping the nation today, the housing crisis, immigration, the proper limits of government, and whether America is still living up to the principles that made it strong in the first place. Blaze TV host Ali Beth Stuckey will be here. Steve Dace will be here helping answer these questions. Live pre-show starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern right here on Blaze TV and the Blaze TV YouTube channel. Blaze TV subscribers can submit questions live during the post-show, get deeper analysis as well. Great time to join up for Blaze TV. It's blazetv.com/stu, the code SOTU40.